I stopped at the fountain's edge, tottered weakly against the rim. At first, I thought he meant destroy the shrike. And then I thought he meant the poem. And then I realized that he meant both. 1,000 pages and more of manuscript lay tumbled in the dry fountain. I picked up the bucket of kerosene. The shrike did not move, except to pull King Billy slowly back against his chest in an oddly affectionate motion. Billy writhed and screamed silently, as a long steel thorn emerged from his harlequin silk just above the breastbone. I stood there stupidly and thought of butterfly collections I had displayed as a child. Slowly, mechanically, I sloshed kerosene on the scattered pages. "End it!" gasped King Billy. "Martin, for the love of God!" I picked up the lighter from where he had dropped it. The shrike made no move. Blood soaked the black patches of Billy's tunic until they blended with the crimson squares already there. I thumbed the antique lighter once, twice, a third time, sparks only. Through my tears I could see my life's work lying in the dusty fountain. I dropped the lighter. Billy screamed. Dimly I heard blades rubbing bone as he twisted in the shrike's embrace. "Finish it," he cried. "Martin! Oh, God!" I turned then, took 5 fast paces, and threw the half-full bucket of kerosene. Fumes blurred my already blurred vision. Billy and the impossible creature that held him were soaked like 2 comics in a slapstick holly. I saw Billy blink and splutter. I saw the slickness on the shrike's chiseled muzzle reflect the meteor-brightened sky, and then the dying embers of burned pages in Billy's still-clenched fists ignited the kerosene. I raised my hands to protect my face. Too late. Beard and eyebrows singed and smoldered, and staggered backward until the rim of the fountain stopped me. For a second, the pyre was a perfect sculpture of flame. A blue and yellow Pietà with a 4-armed Madonna holding a blazing Christ figure. Then the burning figure writhed and arched, still pinned by steel thorns and a score of scalpeled talons, and a cry went up which to this day I cannot believe emanated from the human half of that death-embraced pair. The scream knocked me to my knees, echoed from every hard surface in the city, and drove the pigeons into wheeling panic. And the scream continued for minutes after the flaming vision simply ceased to be, leaving behind neither ashes nor retinal image. It was another minute or two before I realized that the scream I now heard was mine. Anticlimax is, of course, the warp and way of things. Real life seldom structures a decent denouement. It took me several months, perhaps a year, to recopy the kerosene-damaged pages and to rewrite the burned cantos. It will be no surprise to learn that I did not finish the poem. It was not by choice. My muse had fled. The city of poets decayed in peace. I stayed another year or two, perhaps 5, I do not know. I was quite mad by then. To this day, records of early shrike pilgrims tell of the gaunt figure, all hair and rags and bulging eyes, who would wake them from their Gethsemane sleep by screaming obscenities and shaking his fist at the silent time tombs, daring the coward within to show itself. Eventually the madness burned itself out, although the embers will always glow, and I hiked the 1,500 kilometers to civilization, my backpack weighted down with just manuscript, surviving on rock eels and snow, and on nothing at all for the last 10 days. The 2.5 centuries since are not worth telling, much less reliving. The Poulsen treatments to keep the instrument alive and waiting, two long, cold sleeps in illegal sublight cryogenic voyages, each swallowing a century or more, each taking its toll in brain cells and memory. I waited then. I wait still. The poem must be finished. It will be finished. In the beginning was the word. In the end, past honor, past life, past caring, in the end will be the word.